to you, you better sit on down in your seat. But if God has been good to you, you better stand up on your feet. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout hallelujah. God's been good to me. If God has been good to you, you better sit on down in your seat. But if God has been good to you, you better
stand up on your feet.
Clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout hallelujah. God's been good to me. Sing so good,
so good,
so good,
so good,
so good,
so good,
so very good,
so very good.
Sing so good,
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 so good.
All right, good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we doing today? Wow, look at all you beautiful people. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm Pastor Aaron, and this is my beautiful wife, Greta. Hi, guys. We just want to welcome you to this beautiful Sunday, this beautifully warm, tropical Sunday we experience here in upstate New York. So if you are a guest, we would like to welcome you. We would like to get to meet you over here on this side of the building after service. There is a snack room just for our guests. There's snacks. There's a pastoral staff. We get to know you guys. And I mean, like I said, snacks. I love food, so food motivates me to do just about anything. Tonight, if you are between the ages of 18 and 30, we have a young adult awaken group that's happening here tonight. It is their church service. It's happening over here in the Transformers room. It's a lot of fun. The people who run it are pretty great. I mean, my little brother, Pastor Tim, and his wife, Pastor Noel, are absolutely amazing. So come hang out with us. I'm pretty sure there's also food there. So like I said, food is great. If you love food, hang out with us. We have a Discover class that happens every Sunday at 9:30 in the same room where there's snacks. It's a four-week class that helps you learn more about the church and more about who you are. So come on out. Join us for that. Also, next week is our Baptism Sunday. If you have not been baptized and you would like to, if you go out to the main desk in the foyer, you can talk to the girls there. We'll get you signed up, and next week we can get you baptized. So, Pastor, come on out and talk to them.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. You ready for a great day? God's going to move, man. First service was awesome. People gave their hearts to Jesus. We have seen already in the month of January, 37 people give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, don't let heaven outshout you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're good. Man, we got a lot going on, and I want to thank you. My family wants to thank you for all the support you've given us in this last week. It's been just tremendous. We want to say we honor you, and so good to be part of this family. And thank you. On the 18th of this month, we are going to do a memorial service for Pastor Rhonda at 6 o'clock. You're not going to want to be late. I guarantee that. They are flying in from all over the country to be here, literally, flying in from all over the country. And people are going to be filling. I believe we'll have between 800 and 1,000 people for the memorial service. You do not want to be late. It is not going to be, listen, it will not be morbid. So, you got to do what Pastor Rhonda wants, right? That's what this is about. You got to dress bright. When did you not see Pastor Rhonda dress bright? So, you want to come dress bright? You want to come excited? Brother Teddy Shuttlesworth is going to be doing the worship with our worship team. Our bishop will be with us. Bishop Rick and Pastor Kathy from Margate, Florida will be with us. Ted Shuttlesworth Sr. will be with us. Amen. And then another thing that's really powerful is my wife wrote a letter to you. Actually, she wrote two of them to you specifically. And so we'll be reading them that night, her last will and testament that she would like from you or to you. It's going to be very powerful. This is for you. So you don't want to miss it. And we're going to have a great time worshiping. Somebody said, Pastor, are you faking it? You just seem happy. Well, you know, I'm not happy she's not here, but I am happy she's in heaven. I am happy she's with the Lord. I am happy she's shouting, rejoicing. I know that she's having a great time. And today she's shouting before Jesus up there. Today we're shouting with Jesus down here. He's going to have to listen to both ends of the world, isn't he? Amen. So, man, as we worship, don't give it half. Like, be like Pastor Rhonda. You know she's going nuts up there right now. Up here, she's already shouting normally, laying down on her face, loving her God. So we're going to do that with all we got right in this building. Amen. I said amen. So let's praise him together.
Good to you, you better
sit on down and you'll see.
But if God has been good to you, you better
stand up on your feet. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, shout hallelujah. God's been good to me.
If God has been good to you, you better
sit on down and you'll see.
But if God has been good to you, you better
stand up on your feet.
Pour out our praise to you, oh. Seconds and tell him how worthy he is of your praise. Go ahead and lift your voice to him. Lord Jesus, there's none like you. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hey, shoo. Hallelujah. Ushta. Nishte te ki te tu combato bestala la manda. Jesus. Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. Ah, Jesus. Ah, Jesus. Here he comes. Oh, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus, we honor you, God. We honor you, God. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your presence is fullness of joy. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. E la la mande beri shukuru ro ro mandan varara mande tikiri ande. Are you worthy, Lord? Worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. God is healing someone's back. It's right here. Healing your back right now in the name of Jesus. This morning, there's a spirit of deliverance in the room. If you smoke cigarettes specifically, I want you to put your hand on your, just take your finger, put it on your mouth. If you're a smoker and you want to be delivered this morning, put your finger on your mouth just like this. Everybody else, mind your own business. Right there. Get ready. Now let me tell you how I know it's the word of knowledge. We were in worship and I looked at Isaac and I said, go out in the hallway and see if somebody out there is smoking. So one of the parts of the word of knowledge is the ability, God works with your five senses, and one of them is I smell. And so when I smell cigarettes, we're in the middle of worship service, nobody knew in here, I sent him out to go check, and then I said, do you smell it? He goes, no. Then we know we got deliverance today. Amen. Put your finger on your mouth. Here we go. Say it right out loud, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, Jesus, for smoking. From this day forward, I will be free. I bind the devil. In the name of Jesus, you addictive spirit, I bind you in Jesus' name. Get ready. And I command you to loose them right now. That's right, devils. Go on out. In Jesus' name. I declare in Jesus' name that every time you smell it, you're going to start getting sick to your stomach. In Jesus' name, we thank you for deliverance, God. We thank you that you are faithful. God, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what's interesting? I said it a few weeks ago, but I want to repeat it. Is your spirit can live without a body,
But your body cannot live without a spirit. Your spirit is eternal. You will either be with Jesus for eternity, or you'll be separated from God for all of eternity. Be careful what you allow your spirit to be entangled with. Your physical body will always manifest what your spirit is involved with. But remember, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. So be protective, because your physical body can die, but your spirit man will live forever. So be wise. Make sure you manicure the right thing. Stand in the mirror. So excited this morning, Josh Fuchsman looked at me and he goes, Pastor, you're getting awful gray. But I put on this morning, I did my hair and little hairspray on the top, brushed my teeth, did some Mary Kay. Jesus. Gotta look cute. So here we are. I did all that stuff for the outward man. But what did you do for the inward man? I'll tell you what I did. I listened to the word all night long. Put it on at 9:30 when I went to bed. Woke up all night long. It was on all night long. Getting the word in my spirit. Why? Because your spirit man don't sleep. Woke up at 3 a.m. with a song in my spirit. I said, it's way too early. Go pee and go back to bed. Went back to bed, got out of bed at 6:30. That song was still in my spirit. How can that song still be in my spirit, yet I'm not singing it out of my mouth? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. And he is the one that stirs the music, stirs the song. Remember, you are more spirit than you are flesh. Our natural man will perish someday, or the rapture will occur. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But your spiritual man will live forever. We get to choose where we go. You know, I'm a little jealous for my wife in this aspect. She loved God so much. Now, you see, I don't know if you've ever been to funerals where they got to make up stories to make somebody look good. I've been to a lot of those funerals. My favorite funeral was when the daughter stood up and she said, he was a horrible man, but at least he's dead. That wasn't a good one. But my wife, I don't got to make anything up. She honestly was probably one of the most God-loving people I have ever met. Genuinely loved her God. She loved Jesus far more than I loved Jesus. And I love Jesus, but she loved Jesus far more than I loved Jesus. And today, man, she's not here. But where she is, she's with her Jesus. Let me tell you something. There's comfort. As believers, we do not mourn the same way the world mourns. Because let's be real. I don't know if you saw yesterday. It looked like Russia is going to come buddies with China. Russia is Gog and Magog in the end times. And China has the army of 200 million that's going to march down the Euphrates River. You better have your Holy Ghost rapture suit on, baby, because Jesus is coming soon. Amen? I said Jesus is coming soon. Your physical body comes and goes, but your spirit man will last for eternity. Make sure you're taking care of your spirit, because what a horrible thing. You can look good. If you don't love God, you're going to smell awful toasty really soon. You ever go to a restaurant and you can just smell that old grease? You know it's not good grease. It's old grease. They've had that in there for a week or two, and they've done a lot of fish fries. And, man, you just walk in and you go, ooh, that's old grease. That's going to be you if you're not right with Jesus. You're going to smell like old grease frying on the old pan. Because when you're not right with God, when your spirit's not right with Jesus, you don't go to heaven. That's no joke. That's real. So make sure, yes, your body is here. But your body is just the house of who you are. So make sure the house is full of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. I love you. You may be seated this morning. Minister McKenzie, come thither, come yon.
Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? Great. My name is Minister McKenzie. So excited to be here with you all.
Amen.
So I'm going to talk about tithes and offerings. And this verse kind of stuck out to me. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want." So basically, in layman's terms, it means that there are some people that hold on to whatever they have because of fear. They're afraid of running out. They're afraid that they're not going to get any more. They've got priorities, right? And then there's other people that seem to be able to give a lot and they still keep getting. Pastor Rhonda was one of those people. She gave everything away all the time. I don't even know how she owned stuff. She just kept giving.
With Empowering Pastors, last year, praise the Lord, God bless us, we had $42,000 came in. She gave $30,000 away.
Yeah, she's wild. She's wild. So that principle is completely true. And I think that, you know, this verse says, another withholds what he should give. That should can be considered the tithe, right? The word says that we're supposed to be tithing. It says it in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Jesus said that we should be tithing. Paul taught that we should be tithing. And tithe means 10%. So I think in some cases, we're afraid to take that step and freely give, not because we don't want to be giving people, not because we're bad and because we hate God or anything like that, but sometimes it can be because of fear, right? It can be fearful giving 10% of your check every week. And why? Because we have priorities, right? Sometimes we have to pay NYSEG. Sometimes the kids need to eat or they need new shoes or no, none of that. So it can be fearful giving, and it can be fearful giving consistently, right? But the word says in Psalm 23 that it says, where is it? Where is it? I just had it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So Proverbs says, another withholds what he should give and suffers only want. But if the Lord is your shepherd, then you shall not want. So the word says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children, right? So if he takes pleasure in that, then why wouldn't he want to give you the practical steps in order to be prosperous? So it makes sense on paper, but we get fearful and we hold back because, well, what if I need something? But the Lord knows what he has. So the key to unlocking what he has and being able to open the windows of blessing, like the word says, is for us to tithe consistently. And what's really cool is that when you start tithing consistently, he starts showing up very consistently. And that fear goes away. It really does. And I know people who have been, we've heard a ton of testimonies up here of people who didn't tithe, not even because they were fearful, because they just didn't want to. Okay, yeah, that is a reason, and you don't have to, but they've been convicted over a certain message, and they start tithing, and all of a sudden, they get a $10 raise at work. Who gets a $10 raise at work? That's not a coincidence. That's you opening the windows of heaven. That's what happens when we allow God to be our source and to be our good shepherd. And it can be scary. It can be scary when you've grown up and the only thing you know as your source is yourself. The Lord knows that. He's not mad at you or angry for you. He wants you to step out. And the word says, test me in this. He's talking about money. He doesn't say, test me with healing. He doesn't say, test me with joy or if I can give you peace. He says, test me with your money and watch me do something with it. I've experienced this in my own life. I've seen a ton of people experience it. And I know a lot of people in here, a lot of people want to be a free giver. I know people have seen people, oh, I really wish I could meet their need, but I can't. I have my own needs. I wish I could send that person to school. I wish I could pay for that person's car payment. I wish, but I just can't. the only reason why you can't is because that spirit of fear is holding you back. It's that fear. But if you trust the Lord and take a step of faith and say, I'm going to test you because you told me to, you can hold God to his word, and he's faithful. He will follow it. You can step out and say, I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to tithe consistently, and it happens very quickly. You will notice. It's not like an unnoticeable thing. I know people who have started tithing, and they've added up their bills, and somehow they have more money, but they're giving away more. Well, the word is true. It says, whoever withholds suffers only want, but one who gives freely gets all the richer. So I have seen this, and it's not like, I got 10 extra dollars. It's like, no, people are being blessed off of this. So don't allow fear to hold you back this week. It can be a little scary, but that's the reason why God says, hey, test me in this. You don't have to be fearful in your finances anymore. And 10% means 10%. If you make $100 a week, give your $10. That's more faithful than someone who can throw $1,000 in the plate every 6 months and think that they're good for the rest of the 6 months. It's all about your faithfulness and your heart posture towards God. So if you're ready to take that step of faith, I want you to stand up with me. We're going to say our supernatural declaration. It's a great time. Ready? If I obey, I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Go ahead and bring up your tithes and offerings to the gold buckets up here. If you're watching us online, thank you so much for joining us in our online family. If you'd like to give, you can text the number 84321 and any dollar amount. Don't try to put any decimals or anything. Just put like 50, 25, you know, whatever. You can also go online to histabernacle.com and give there. And if you're in the house, you can give by envelope, give by cash, any other way you want to. Thanks so much for joining us.
God is good. Amen. So I just want to quickly remind you one more time on the 18th, you want to be here. We're going to be doing Pastor Rhonda's memorial service. And then my family's heading down to Florida. We're going to scatter her ashes in the ocean, which is who she is. She was born in Miami. Many of you don't know that. So we're going to go down and just honor her and then make it harder for God to put her back together. Amen. That's my joy. Amen. So it's a great day. God is so faithful. God is so good. I want to remind everybody, if you're over 50 years old, you qualify. Turn to someone and say, you qualify for senior breakfast this coming Wednesday. Yes, at Curly's Chicken House at 9 a.m. Encourage you to come on out. We have a great time meeting. We have our own room, and it's going to be an awesome time to be there. This is the year of... That was so sad. Here we go. This is the year of... That's right. We are built different. Turn to someone and say, you are different. That's right. We are different. We have a different family. We have a different father. We have different set of laws. We have a different lifestyle. We have a different power. We have a different purpose. We are not like the world. Well, that was awful quiet. I said, we are not like the world. Yeah. Turn to someone and say, you are different. Our verse for the year is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and it says this. So then, you are no longer strangers. You might be strange, but you're not a stranger. Or an alien, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That is very important for us to lay hold of, Because I believe there's been a diabolical attack against the church at large, and we're seeing this now within the church realm of the American churches. Not only did we see about 90,000 churches close after COVID, but the average year they see about 9,000 churches close in America and only 4,000 open. Right now, the average church attendance is once of every 3 weeks. The average church person only goes to church once every 3 weeks. That's all they go. And so we have a problem. And the problem is that Jesus is coming. And the problem is the devil is sleek and sly. He's a foul old devil, and he's sneaky. And the plan of the enemy is to disavow, disengage the church, disembowel the church from understanding why we're here, what we're going to do, what our purpose is, and Jesus, that he's coming soon. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So there must be a shift, and the shift comes down to that we are built different. This whole year, God's really laid it on my heart of where we're taking it. Now, the average person, because they go to church that little, because church really now has become more of a religious experience and just going to a religious building, than truly understanding we are members of the household of God. Because we don't grasp the household of God, then we treat it as a place that we visit rather than we come to because this is home. You see, I love coming to worship. Especially now as our family is going through some trauma. And it is trauma. You know, it is strange and it is weird not seeing Rhonda walk through the door and walk through the house. It is weird not seeing her worship over where Isaac is. Move over, Isaac. You never know. We haven't scattered yet. He might put her back together. You know, who knows? Got to have faith. And so it's strange, and it really is, after almost 32 years of marriage, really difficult because the love of your life, literally my best friend, we did everything together, is now no longer here. And that is huge. But you see, what makes it even more huge is because we were a genuine family. I love my family. I love spending time with my family, my blood family. We have not gone a day since her death where we have not gotten together and done stuff. And my daughter, Corinne, she's like mothering me now. I don't understand. So, did you eat today? Listen, if I want to eat, I'm going to eat. You know, I'm 55 years old. I'm not an old man yet. You know, and my son Chad and his wife said, we're moving in because we don't want you to be alone in the house. No, you're not moving here. You know, I cry. My mornings are when I usually cry, and I cry ugly. So I don't want children running around the house when Bampy's crying ugly. You know what I mean? I want that time. But, man, I just love my... Corinne wrote a note, something for her Facebook the other day. And she said, how does this sound to you? I said, looks good, Rhonda. Because she sounded exactly like her mother, which is a phenomenal compliment. So here we have, you know, our family is amazing. But this is my church family. And you see, the difference between me and other folks is not that I'm a pastor, but I truly understand what it means to be a member in the household of faith. I understand what it means to be in the household of God. This is not a place I go to because I want to fulfill a religious tradition that I have. I love coming here because you're here. We're going to spend all of eternity together. I love coming here in the corporate anointing. Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that flows over the head of Aaron, down over his beard, down over his garment to his feet. And it's there that God commands his blessing. I love when corporate worship begins. I love when the corporate presence of God comes into the room. I love feeling the anointing of God that destroys every yoke of bondage. I love feeling the upgirding, the girding of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Holy Spirit. I love that. Why? Because that's what heaven is. That's what he's trying to show here. The problem is when the church has lost the understanding of a household. We've lost the understanding that this isn't about religion, that this is not about church. You know, God hates religion. You got to know that. God was very clear. He said it in the book of Isaiah. He said, I hate your new moon feast. I hate your festivals. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'm going to make them as white as snow. What was he saying? Well, who started the new moon feast? God did. Who started the festivals? God did. But the difference in why God hated them is because it stopped being about him and it started being about them. It stopped being about loving God and honoring God, and it was more like fulfilling themselves. You see, this has happened in the body of Christ, and in these last days, he's raising up churches all across America. I can't speak for the world, but across America, and God is raising them up, and God is raising them up to come back to the understanding that we are built different, and the way that we're built different is that this is not a place that we just sit here and visit, but this is a place that I am a member. I'm not talking membership, church. I'm talking I am a member of the household of faith. I am a member of God's home. You see, this is all, you know, and I hope you don't mind, but I love talking about my wife, and I do every week, even if she's here. And I do that because it's important. We can't forget the gift that God had given us. Amen. But right now, as I've been studying and reading a bunch of stuff on people that have died and come back, one of the things that they love is being in that presence of God, being in the corporate presence of the Lord, where they're all gathered around and they're worshiping Christ together. I want you to know something. When we have lost what church is about, when we have lost and being no longer being built different, but being built like a religious institution, then what has happened is we are going to miss out on the blessing and the outpouring and the anointing and the revival of heaven because we are not seeing it the same way he is. You see, you got to see the way God sees. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You got to think the way God thinks. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And so here we have, we have the body of Christ has to have a transformation in our hearts. Well, that's a problem in America because we really like to be catered to. We really like to take care of ourselves. We pamper ourselves. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. We take care of ourselves. We make sure we eat. We make sure we look good. We make sure we shower. Showering is good. We make sure we have a nice scent. That could be a hint for some. There's another verse I want you to look at real quick this morning, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and it says this. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. I love this last part. Ready? And that is what we are. I want you to realize something, that when we start talking about household, when we start talking about the household of God, we start talking about the family of God, we've got to get back to understanding that every home is built upon something. Now, your house is either built on love or it's built on hate and selfishness. Now, every one of us in this room have experienced some level because of natural, we were raised in a home, or maybe you didn't have a dad, or maybe you did have a dad and he was crass, crude, and vicious and violent. Maybe you did have individuals and you were brought up in a house that was not filled with love. Then there are others. Listen now, I grew up in a house. I love my dad, and I want you to know this. I have a great relationship with my father. My father and I talk every single day. But the house I grew up in was how he learned. I want you to know truthfully that your children can only parrot you. You only know what you know. And so here my dad was a challenging father because his dad was a challenging father. Now, I love my grandfather as well, but my grandfather, every single time that he moved, my dad and family, they would move to him, and then he'd move away. They'd move there, and then he'd move away. And it was that way for so many years. My dad really didn't grow up in a house where he had a father. In fact, I remember him telling me I was in fourth grade. We went hunting in northern Maine. And so fourth grade is what, 7 or 8 years old. And at that, right, is that the right age? Nine years old. So let's just say 10. Let's round it up. So I didn't stay back, but I mean 10. Let's just say 10 to round it up. So 10 years old, you know, my dad, that was the first relationship he started having with his father. And so when Rhonda and I got married, I was a really bad husband. Now, I was mean. I was a true, genuine male chauvinist pig. Shut up, Rhonda, get in the kitchen and cook me something to eat. Hey. I changed. But I remember in the home growing up, my dad really never hugged us. He never hugged us. I didn't really hear I love you a lot. I don't think I heard I'm proud of you till I was in my 20s. And so it was really, he only did what his dad did to him. But you have to make a decision in a home. You have to make a decision where you called house. That the generations are either going to be impacted by how you were taught, or you're going to understand how God's house runs, and you're going to run it like your Father in heaven. Therefore, your children are going to grow up knowing they are loved, knowing they are supported, knowing their strength, knowing somebody's backing them. Man, I want you to know my kids, it's so funny. My children kept continually saying to me, "Do you always have to say I love you?" And I said, "Yes." I remember Chad saying, "Listen, you've said it enough." No. Why? Because I always hugged my kids. I always let them know I love them. I always blessed them and bought them things, even when I didn't have finances. I always did things with my kids. Why? I did not want them to experience the house that I grew up in. Therefore, the only way to change it is to change it. The only way to change is to have a transformation of your mind. The only way to change is to look at a different pattern. And I'm here to tell you today that many people in church, literally, they just visit church. Have you ever had somebody? Now, listen, my family, hospitality is a thing of the Bible. Amen? My wife, very hospitable. It was not strange that we'd have 25, 27 kids at our house on a Sunday afternoon. She cooked for all of them. That was not strange, even up to now. I mean, it's really not abnormal that we're going to have 15 to 20 people at our house every Sunday afternoon. And we cook. So it's not abnormal. That's hospitality. And you know, if you showed up at my house, I'm probably not going to kick you out. I'm probably going to say, "Hey, there's more than enough. Come on over. And we're going to eat. And we're going to have a great time." But if you show up on Monday, I'm going to say, "Well, yeah, man, we got food for you. I got stuff for you. Here's some more food." Then you show up on Tuesday. Here's some food. You show up on Wednesday. It's simple. Here's $20. Go somewhere else because I'm not buying anything more for you. Well, why? Because when your kids come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's like, yeah, they're here. They're bugging me. But I love them. But when a guest keeps coming, after a while, you just kind of get sick of the guests showing up. In fact, the Bible talks about that. It says if you show up as a guest often without invitation, you create irritation. And so what's happened in the body of Christ? We have a lot of folks that go to church as visitors. We have spiritual welfare going on all the time where it's take, 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 take. Where else can you get great music, a good light show, some guy 55 bouncing around the stage yelling and screaming and trying to make you laugh, and then your kids get free babysitting and you might throw George in the plate. Where else can you get that for that price? But I want you to know something. When you're a visitor after 10 years, you aren't a member of the house. Which means you either don't understand or you yourself are selfish. Amen. Shout, I'm built different.
I'm built different.
You're not built religious. You've been built for relationship. God created you to be a son and a daughter. He said, "Now I call you the children of God." As children of God, we are members of the house because of the blood that we carry in our veins. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and covered us with his blood and made us part of the kingdom of the heavens. So today, as members of the house of God, we've got to get back and say, I don't know, listen, I know how I was reared, I know what I experienced, but I need to make sure that I'm thinking the God kind of thoughts, that I'm thinking the God kind of way, so that I can come to God's house and be a member in his house on his established design. Until that happens, then the church really becomes inconsequential to the community. You see, until that occurs, the church really can't get traction because you have a few people doing all the work. Now, I remember saying this a few years ago, but I love the fact that my children moved out. Until I realized I lost help. Now I had to take the dog out myself. Now I had to take the garbage out. Now when my wife said, the laundry's down in the basket, can you grab it for me? I used to say, hey! No hay. There's no hay, no straw, there's nothing. It's just me. Head on down to the basement, bring up, why? Well, because I love the fact that when my kids were home, they were part of the family. And as part of the family, everybody has a job. Can I hear an amen? Everybody does something. Can I hear an amen? I love that we do family breakfast every single Friday morning with my family. We do it every Friday. You want to know what really ticks me off? Is when one of them calls and says, well, I can't come this morning. I made other plans. What do you mean you made other plans? You know, every Friday, we meet here at the house, and we have breakfast. It's not a shock, not something new. What's up? Well, you know, this is the only time. Really? No, I don't say it to their face until now. But it ticks me off because I got a spot saved for you. I already went out and bought food for you and your family. In fact, I probably already cooked for you, and it's waiting for you right now. It took me an hour to an hour and a half to make all this food. Now you're telling me you're not showing up. I don't think that's nice. But we do it all the time to God. You see, when we see God's house as a religious institution, there's no big deal showing up or not showing up. Well, I'm too busy. I'm just going to stay in bed today. Oh, really? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords asked that you meet together to come to his house. He's got some food for you. He's got some worship for you. He's got his present for you. But you know, no, I don't got time. I'm in bed. Or I've got to do this, Pastor. Or I got to do this, Pastor. And if you look at all of it, it's inconsequential to life and really does not make a hill of beans. But we trade out coming to Daddy's house, our Father's house. That's right. He's not called God. Jesus didn't say when he said to pray, he didn't say, our God who art in heaven. He said, our Father. Because we're talking about God. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. We're talking about the one who desperately loves us. You see, the house is either built on love or the house is built on selfishness and hatred. We know this. It's important that the house of God is built on love. But the love that God gives in this kind of location doesn't come just from heaven above. It comes from the children in the house. I was sharing this morning as people were coming, we meet every morning at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning with a bunch of the workers. And I just reminded them all that literally God's house has to be the house that's filled with love. Because without love, we are a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. You can grow a church to 10,000, but without love, it means absolutely nothing. So love is truly the apex because God is love. That's that 1 John chapter 3. He said this, see how much our Father loves us, for he's called us to be his children, and that is who we are, for God is love. So what happens is when God's house isn't filled with love, what is it actually filled with? When you don't see God's house as God's house, then what do you see it as? See, that shift in these days is so important, because without that shift happening within the body of Christ, then why would you invite anybody to your house? It's not important to you. Why would it be important to anybody else? Well, I just had bad experiences in church. You had bad experiences at your home. I ran away. I think I was 7 years old. I was running away to Sean Tui's house. So I ran away. I ran over to my next door neighbor's house, and we went and we played Atari. We drank soda. We had chips. It was awesome. And Mrs. Tui came home and she made supper. And she looked at me and she said, "Michael, what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I've run away from home." And she said, "Well, this is not your home. You need to leave." So I went home. And my mother had locked the front door. Home is everything. Home is everything, because without home, you're all by yourself. And the enemy loves isolation, because the more you become isolated, you don't have anybody to speak into your life. You don't have people around you that are going to give you love when you're struggling. A three-bound cord is not easily broken. But when you're all by yourself, baby, it's easy to fall. And the book of Proverbs says, when you fall and you're all by yourself, who's going to pick you up? So the enemy has corralled the body of Christ into believing about a religious institution and not understanding that this is the house of God. We are built different, not because we're better than anybody, but because we are the children of the Most High King. And because when we come together on a Sunday, when we come together during the week, what we're actually doing is we're coming together as a family to honor our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This shift, without it, then the body of Christ literally is going to be ineffective in the last days. The Bible says they shall know us by our love. If you're always taken from somebody, you don't love them. You're using them. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? I've had people, they call, but you know when they call, they're just calling to ask you for something. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know when the phone rings and it comes up their name, they don't really care about you. They need something. So this is how the conversation starts. "Hey, how are you? I was thinking about you today." And so you go, "Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. And, you know, how's the family? And, you know, how's your dog? And, you know, and how's this?" And then finally, "Oh, by the way." So many people, "Oh, by the way," God all the time. We aren't really interested in him being our Father. We're interested in what he's going to be able to give us when we need it. But that's not a relationship. You see, the great part about being part of a family is you come together in the living room. You hang out. You talk. You pass gas. Or the dog does. Sayla did the other night. Man, it was just horrible. About cleared the room. You're laughing as the kids are playing, and the living room is that place of relationship. It's that place of communication. It's that place where you can be frank with each other. It's that place where if somebody's hurting, you can love them. But if your family comes to the living room, but you always stay in the kitchen because you're waiting to get more out of the kitchen than you are out of the relationship, then when you're needed, you're not available. Isn't it crazy? It's either love or selfishness. When a house is established on selfishness, then it's always take, 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 and never give, 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 give. But if we did this as a family, It'd be an amazing struggle. In fact, most families are seriously struggling. That's why divorce is huge. Divorce is huge not because principles aren't real, but divorce is huge because we don't relationships. And we're not establishing on love. But God has established his house on love. God has said, I am love. That everything that we do is about love. That everything that we are, for they shall know us by our love. Everything is about love. But if you're always a visitor, you're never a lover because you're only a taker and you're never a giver. Whoa, bam. Some of you grew up in those bad homes where you had abuse. Some of you were verbally abused. You're worthless. You'll never do anything. I know one mother that said to their child, you'll never amount to anything in your life. Sexual abuse, physical abuse, or just straight neglect. Some were brought up in homes that were so unstable because mother and father didn't love each other. So when you come to church, you're afraid to become vulnerable because of the instability that you might see every once in a while. See, if things don't change, you'll always be a guest. You'll always be a visitor. And you'll never participate with the house. And if that happens, then what occurs is simple. When it's time for momentum, you can't have it. When it's time for soul winning, when it comes time for outreach and for your gift to be used, you'd rather keep your gift to yourself than give it away. And then the body of Christ becomes literally. The world laughs at the church at large. Let's just be real. Your friends laugh at church. But the Bible says if a group of people come together with one passion, with one anointing, with one drive, there's nothing that they cannot accomplish, that God will always show up. Why? Because when we come together loving each other, when we come together building each other, when we come together as one in one household, God always shows up in the scripture. And when he shows up, there is a wind and there is a fire. There is a Holy Ghost. There is the power. There is the supernatural. There is salvation. There is deliverance. There is everything that God wants to do because he loves people available. But when we don't, then we just protect our own assets and make sure nobody offends us. Listen now, you're going to be offended in church. Well, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, if I haven't yet, give me time. Give me time. I promise to say something's going to rub you raw. Well, why is that? Well, because the Bible offends us. It offends us out of death into life. Because God loves us. You see, when we recognize that this is all about love, then we understand that we've got a purpose and we've got to make sure that God's house runs the way God desires it to run. We don't want to get to heaven before we see it. We want to see it here. Mirrored from heaven. Yes. Amen. Amen. 1 John 4, 7 through 8 says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So everything about God's house has to be rooted in the Father, and the Father is love. What's love? Love is the acceptance from somebody who's not obligated to you. Love is the reception and acceptance from individuals that get no benefit from you. You can't use somebody if you can't get nothing from them. I've had a lot of folk, man, in ministry, you experience this a lot, the old Judas kiss stuff, where they they really could give you nothing. I've had people try to buy me. I've had people try to snuggle in through me. I've had people lie to me. All of that was, honestly, it didn't mean anything to me. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're doing things because you love people, if you're doing it because you love God, then no one can buy you anyways. And no one can sell you either. Because you've already been bought with a price. So as a believer, you got to make some decisions in your life. Am I being motivated by love? Am I coming to God's house because I love my Father, because my Father has a spread put out for me? Do I come to church because I love the brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I come to church because I love to let God use my life so that I can get glory in heaven? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Someone posted that last week, and boy, I've quoted it like 10 times. I don't remember who it was, but said that it was Nick. She said, when my wife got to heaven, it was the easiest, well done, thou good and faithful servant that Jesus ever had. But what about you? Is it to get to give? Give to get? Is you're coming to the house of God about a religious, man, I feel guilty when I don't go. Or, you know what? I got to go. I got to be around the brothers and sisters. I've got to be around my family. I've got to be around, come on, I've got to be around Corinne as she's trying to mother me. I've got to be around my family. You know, Pastor Andrea, she's my family. She's our family. Many of you know her as Pastor Andrea. We don't know her as Pastor Andrea as much as we know her as Grammy Ayo. She's been Grammy Ayo to all of our grandbabies. And we just love Grammy Ayo. Now, Grammy Ayo and I, we're not blood. No. We're not even the same color. I'm opaque. Amen. She's bronze. She's nice. I like that. But we are family. But we're family because we choose to exchange love. And so many people have stopped loving. We've stopped being like our Father because we're either afraid to get hurt or maybe we have never seen what it's supposed to look like. You know what's exciting to me? As the father of the house, not this house, but my own house, because I didn't want it to be like the way my dad raised me. I love you, I love you, I love you, I hug you, I hug you, I hug you. Now you know what I get to watch? My sons and my daughter. I love you, I love you, I love you, I hug you, I hug you, I hug you. Bringing my kids to the house of God wasn't a chore for me. I didn't have, listen, Chad did not want to come, but he had to come. Why? Because he's part of the family. But you know something? They're all serving Jesus this day. And you know, how we developed our family wasn't accidental. It was purposed. And the changes had to come from the head down. Oh, I'm talking to you dads, you men. You better start loving your wives, and if you don't got a wife, you better start loving people. Because it's inside a man to be innately selfish. But Jesus wasn't selfish, or he wouldn't have said, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And Jesus did that for only one reason, to make you and I part of his family. Amen. See, everything comes down to love for God. As I've been watching these NDEs, I don't remember how they, near-death experiences. I've been watching a lot of them, reading books on heaven, because I want to understand where my wife is and what she's experiencing. I don't get to experience it with her. We've always done all those things together. We've never really done any of those adventurous things away from each other. But now she's on a different adventure. But I want to participate. I know the way for me to participate is to understand. So I'm reading the near-death experiences, you know, from watching them on 700 Club and watching all those things. And there's like three or four really good ones that are out there that are validatable. Jesse Duplantis. And then watching, reading some books on what is heaven? You know, what does it look like? What was the experiences there? And as I'm reading it, people are saying to me, you know, it looks like you're not grieving. Oh, no, I'm crying enough, baby. I'm crying enough, but I'm also smiling enough. You want to know why? Because I know where she's at. I know what she's doing. And I know the love that she's experiencing. And that love is something that I couldn't give her. You see, she loved me, and she loved her family, and she loved you, but she loves her Jesus far more. You know, one of the big things that happens with all these people that have been to heaven, there's certain things that are all the same. And this one that's the same is the very first time they see Jesus, it's this, he's dressed in white, and he's just light. And the moment they step into that light presence, they all say the same thing. It's a love that it's all about me. I have never experienced a love so deep. One person said, I grew up in a great home, a loving parents, but I have never experienced love like that. Not one of them said, oh, Jesus, please send me back. When he was sending them back, they all said, no, we don't want to go. We don't want to leave this spot. We don't want to leave your presence. We don't want to leave this love. We don't want to leave this utopia. We don't want to leave this presence. I could worship you forever, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What should his church be? We might not be able to have the intensity of the presence of love that they're experiencing in heaven right now. But when the anointing is here, there is nothing greater than being in his presence. Why? Because you know you're loved. See, his love is unconditional. His love is stable. His love is faithful. His love is passionate. His love is visionary. He believes in you many times far more than we believe in ourselves. His love is peaceful. His love is defending. His love is merciful. His love is forgiving. And his love is even correcting. See, when you understand how we're built different, church changes from being religious to truly understanding that when we come here, we're family. Now, you don't like everybody. That's okay. But you can't hate them, or you can't go to heaven yourself. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? I didn't like them, so I'm not going to heaven. Stupid. I've had people say, well, I'm not coming to your church. Those people offended me. So what are you going to do on the other side of heaven? No, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. But now remember, just because you forgive don't mean you got to give them the right back in your life, yeah, either. You can love them from afar. But you still have to love. So my question is simple. How do you view church? Is it just a religious place that you go to? Well, that was great music today. You know you're missing it when that's your statement about the worship. Well, why is that? Because it had nothing to do with music. It's what you were doing with the music. Either you were glorifying your Father in heaven, loving him, or you just singing. And let's be real, if you can sing that good, you should probably be on the worship team. Well, that was a good message, Pastor. Really, what was it? I don't remember, but it was good. Nah, you're missing it. You're missing it because this has everything to do with family. This is our living room. It's our living room. This is where we're not staring at a TV, but we're making a choice to love the one who loved us most. Together. Where he spread out this banquet, man, it's like a banquet. Your favorite food. And then you call him and say, hey, you know, I'm tired this morning. I'm just not going to be able to show up. Is that all right? He'll always say yes, because if the bridegroom calls the guest, invites them, but they choose not to come, he'll pull them off the streets. We've got to make choices in our life. And these are choices. Every one of us needs more love. Every one of us. Every one of us wants to be accepted more. But if you always stay aloof, you think that you're always going to protect yourself. But what you're doing is you're damning yourself. Your protection mode has built a brick wall in front of you that no one can get through. Your heart isn't actually protected. Your heart is actually getting hard. Because true love makes you vulnerable. It makes you hurtable. It makes you cryable. Why do I cry? Well, I love Rhonda. And I miss her. It sucks. But you know what? She's happier than I am right now. Now that sucks. But I'll heal. We'll get healed. And we'll love again. And then one day, I'm going to meet her on that rock, under that tree, by the creek. And we're going to grab hands and we're going to worship Jesus together. Amen. Why? That's my family. That's my family. If you get to heaven before I get to heaven, see, if you're family, you're going to welcome me when I come. Because you're family. Are you a family here? Or are you still just a visitor here? Is this just the place you come to pacify your religious needs? Or have you been built different and you can't wait to get where the Father's presence is? Changes your whole world. Church stops being church and it starts being home. I love coming home. Amen. I love worshiping. I love. Get everything all set? I love bantering. I love making fun of my children. And they do the same. Mindy's really mean to me sometimes. But that's family. And I remember the very first time I watched Mindy and Jade have a genuine argument. Well, if you didn't think it was real, we all thought it was. We talked about it at breakfast the other morning at the table. Well, I remember it, so it don't matter who you do. Yeah, you and Chad. No, not Jade, Chad. Oh, you're good now? You and Chad? Oh, I said Jade, I'm sorry. It was Chad. Yeah. I mean, they were like, you should have seen Mama. You should have seen Mama Rhonda. You guys got to fix this now. We're family. Sometimes I do that to you. But you see, I can't do that if you're just a guest. Can't do that if you're not family. Can't do that to the visitor. You watch the visitor take 4 scoops of potatoes and leave none for anybody else. You smile at them, and in your head you're thinking, you're a jerk. And, you know, you just don't invite them back. But that happens in church all the time. We just take, and we don't give. We receive, but we don't love. And the house of God is about love. And until we realize that, let's just close the doors and go home. Because it's all about love. Amen? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to answer yourself a question. I don't want any hands raised. I don't want to hear your opinions. I want you to be honest with yourself. Remember, the greatest deceiver has never been Satan. It's always us. I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I part of this house? Am I part of a household of faith? Do I really love? Or is even this about me? Answer yourself. Be honest with yourself. You see, you can't change until you're honest with yourself. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you not to be a member of this church, but to be the member of the family of God. What happens is this: it's supernatural, not natural. When you make a decision to serve Jesus and you surrender your life to Him, you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, there is a supernatural transformation that happens on the inside of you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Man, Jesus changes your life, and God sheds His love on you. Today, if you do not know Jesus, or you're not right with God, and you know, man, you know if you take your last breath, you're not going to be in heaven. What a horrible thing that would be. Well, I've got time. Who lied to you? Pastor Rhonda was 49 years old. Who lied to you that you've got time? Man, you can't get any more pride-filled, arrogant to think that you have control of any of the time that you own, because you don't own any. Today, if you need to get right with Jesus, I'm going to count. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Why raise my hand? Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. Today, if you're not sure you're going to go to heaven, today, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, today, if you want to be part of the house of God, today, if you want to be part of the household of the love of heaven, you want God to be your Father, get ready. I want you to raise your hand up right now. Right now. Thank you in the back. I see that hand. You can put it right back down. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you very much. Yes, young lady, I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Come on, get ready to say 1. Remember, you're making a decision. I just got to say this. You are not brave to leave here without being right with Christ. You're crazy. You're crazy. Get ready. His last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. For those who raise their hand for salvation, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, Mindy's right here. This is Mindy, my daughter-in-law. When we dismiss service, I want you to make your way right here. Listen, you're saying, oh my goodness, I just thought I had to raise my hand. Listen, man, take a walk for God. Your step of faith is going to secure what you're doing right now. Amen? So if you saw them raise their hand and they're not coming forward, grab them, bring them on forward, or talk to the person next to you and say, I raise my hand. Will you go up with me? Amen? Everybody else, raise your hand. Get ready. I want to release a blessing in the name of Jesus. I declare the covenant of God upon the body of Christ. I declare in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus, that not one should be lost, but everyone is going to fulfill their destiny in Jesus' name. I declare that we have the power over sin, that we have the power, God, to live righteous, to live strong, and that, Lord, we're going to finish strong. We're going to be able to stand before you, and you're going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I declare in Jesus' name, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no maiming, there is no wounding, there are no growths, there are no spirits of infirmity, and there is no elongated pain in our bodies, in the name of Jesus. I declare God will prosper and be in health, good health, even as our soul prospers, in the name of Jesus. God, our soul be whole. And God, let us prosper in our finances so much the world will say, I want to serve the God that you serve. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, one more thing. This Thursday night for Rock Solid Faith. Yeah. Amen. This Thursday, Rock Solid Faith, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come and ask me any question you want about what happened with Pastor Rhonda. So it's an open forum. You're going to be able to come. You're going to be able to ask questions. And you're going to be, some of you got strong questions. Some of you got doubts. Some of you got wonders. You're going to have an opportunity Thursday night at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. So Rock Solid Faith will be that this week. Is that fair? I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Lead at least one soul to Jesus this week. Have an awesome day. Serve God.